Well, welcome to Vertical Church. I'm glad you're here today. My name is Philip, and I'm so proud of you. You've made it on the day we spring forward. You have made it to church. Praise God. Congratulations. We're passing out gold stickers at the back. You can collect those on your way out. Yes, very excited. Somebody went to Sunday school growing up. Very excited about the gold star. All right, I like it. I'm glad you're here today. And on behalf of our leadership, our staff, and church, welcome to Vertical, whether you're online, in Hiawassee. What's up, Hiawassee? And glad you're here today as well. I don't know what you've walked in with. Maybe you are heavy burdened. Maybe it took everything you had just to tune in online or to come in here today or show up at Hiawassee. Maybe it took everything you've got. I believe God's going to move today. And I believe he's already been moving. And he's going to speak into our life today. We are continuing on with a, quote, series that is not a series. We're just kind of going where the Lord goes. It's turned into a lot about Holy Spirit, and today is going to be no different, okay? So I want to start off by reading from the Old Testament. If you're new to Vertical, I tend to do this from time to time. I love the Old Testament as well as the New Testament. I like it all. Exodus chapter 3 is where we're going. If you're newer to the Bible, you've got your Bible or Bible app. Exodus 3 is toward the very beginning. If you get to Genesis, you just got to go one chapter over. Genesis, Exodus, boom. Exodus 3, very early on. You should be able to find it. If you've brought neither your phone nor your Bible app, that's okay. We're going to put the words on the screen because we believe the Word of God is alive, it's active, and it can pierce right to our very soul. Exodus chapter 3, starting in verse 1. One day, Moses was tending the flock of his father-in-law Jethro, the priest of Midian. He led the flock far into the wilderness and came to Sinai, the mountain of God. There, the angel of the Lord appeared to him in a blazing fire from the middle of a bush. And Moses, he stared in amazement. Though the bush was engulfed in flames, it didn't burn up. "This is amazing," Moses said to himself. "You're not wrong, Brother Moses," and said to himself, "Why isn't that bush burning up? I must go and see it." See, Moses was out far away from where he was living. He's out in the wilderness. He's got his sheep. He's a shepherd. He's got his flocks. He's wandering around. And life has got to be so mundane. There is no cell service out where he is at. There is no video games where he is at. There's no friends where he's at. He's probably named some of the sheep and is talking to the sheep. He's so far out probably. Okay, he's making friends. I used to work from home, and I swear to you, I started talking to the birds and squirrels. I got lonely. Moses, I can relate, man. I understand. He's way out. And then something gets his attention. In the middle of the mundane, in the middle of the ordinary, in the middle of what felt like the most normal day on the face of the planet, probably, God moves. And God gets his attention with a burning bush. And it catches his eye. It's different than what life has been like before. And so he says, "This is amazing." It gets his attention and goes over. And maybe you've walked in today and you want a word from God. You want direction from God. I think most people who tune in online or you're in Hiawassee or you're here, you've come to church because you do want some direction from God, right? You're not here because you're like, "I just want to kind of do it on my own. I want some direction from God." But maybe you haven't heard. Maybe you feel like it's quiet. You don't know why God's not talking to you. And what I want to tell you, the first thing I want to tell you from these scriptures is many times we want God to speak to us in a big, booming voice. But many times God speaks to us with an event first. Many times God speaks to us with an event first to get our attention. And before you start labeling me a heretic, that you start reading events and events always tell you what to do, that's literally not what I said at all. What I said is sometimes God gets our attention with an event. But sometimes when we do see the event, we think that is God talking, and we just run with it. Life got hard all of a sudden, so I need to stop what I'm doing. God really blessed this, so I'm just going to keep going. We never really stop to ask, "God, are you telling me something with this event, even though it's hard? God, are you telling me something, even though this is getting blessed? God, are you leading and guiding me?" But many times God uses an event to speak to us. I heard this story, and before I tell this story, I'm going to tell you it's fiction, which means it's not real, okay? I'm going to tell you the story. If I didn't tell you it wasn't real, some of y'all be weeping. You'd just be heartbroken. We'd never move on. So this story is not real. Put it in the notes. So in this story, there's a man out in the water, and this man is drowning. That's not a good thing, okay? So he's drowning, but he's got someone in a canoe, and the canoe starts coming by, and they see the man drowning. They do what any of us would do, and they call out to the man, "Do you need help? Do you need help?" And he's like, no, I'm good. God's going to save me. God's going to save me. And so the canoe keeps going, but then a fishing boat comes by, and the fishermen on the boat, they see the man's drowning. They're like, "Do you want us to throw out the life raft to you? Do you want us to save you?" And he's like, no, I'm good. God's going to save me. And the fishing boat passes by. And finally, a cruise ship comes by. And everybody on the cruise ship sees a man drowning. And they're like, "Do you want help? We can send out another boat to get you. We can save you." And he's like, no, God will save me. And the cruise ship moves on. And the man drowns. And the man goes before the Lord. And he says, "Lord, I believed you would save me. Why did I drown?" And God said, "I sent you 3 boats. What else did you want?" But sometimes we look at God to speak in a lead, and God throws event in our path, and we're not like Moses. We can walk by a burning bush, and we go, "That isn't amazing. That isn't amazing. It's not what I see on TikTok. It's not what I see on Instagram. It's not what I see on YouTube or TV or Netflix. I'm good. That doesn't interest me." But God's trying to get our attention. We call ourselves Christ followers, but we invest way more in everything else besides the Word of God. I'm going to tell you, God speaks to me. I believe he's given me a word for today. But you know where I hear the Lord a lot? In prayer and in the Word. How many times we cry out to the Lord, we spend our time everywhere else. And sometimes, if we're going to hear God speak to us, we've got to see the event first. Some of you have got burning bush moments going on in your life, and you're walking right by them and still asking God to speak to you. But look what Moses does. Look what Moses does in verse 4. He says, "When the Lord saw Moses coming to take a closer look." I want you to underline or highlight that part if you brought your Bible. When the Lord saw Moses coming to take a closer look. And my prayer for you is that you've taken a posture as you came in today. You've taken the posture of coming in that, "God, I want to take a closer look. God, if you want to speak into my life, I want to come closer. I want to draw near. I want to hear from you." Moses coming to take a closer look, God called to him from the middle of the bush, "Moses, Moses." Look how he responds, "Here I am. Here I am," Moses replied. But see, God didn't speak to Moses until he came closer. He didn't speak to Moses until he came closer. And some of you may have come online or in Hiawassee, you're in the building, you've come to, quote, church, but your heart's distant. Your heart's cold. It's far from God. And I'm going to encourage you today, it doesn't have to be that way. Today's a day where you can come to take a closer look, and God can speak into your life. We start off the service with one of the phrases we say this church a lot: our expectation determines our engagement, and our engagement dictates our encounter. But I don't know if you know this about us as humans. Something we're really good at as humans is we'll believe, we'll have an expectation that God's going to move. We'll come to church, "Yeah, I believe God's going to move," but it's going to look exactly like this. God's going to speak exactly like this. Worship better sound exactly like this if God's going to move. The pastor better speak in a certain way for God to move. What if we just came to church believing God will move, and we left it at that? We don't know when he's going to speak. We don't know what he's going to say. It may be a big booming voice. It may be a burning bush. It may be somewhere in between. But he came closer. And as we have drawn in today, what is your posture? Do you genuinely want to draw closer to the Lord today? Because I've got such good news for you if you do. It doesn't matter about your past. It doesn't matter how much baggage you've walked into. You could walk in the biggest addict of all time. I've got good news for you today. The Lord says, come take a closer look. Come look into my character. Come look into my faithfulness. I can forgive. So many times we come to church and we're so worried about our past. We're so worried about our past. You know who's not really worried about your past? The Lord. Because the Lord sees, I can forgive all of it. Forgive all of it. What the Lord's really trying to get you to focus on is your future. Your future. Will you step into your God-given calling and purpose? We're going to talk about that today. I'm trying to get ahead of myself. There's the Lord's going to move. I won't get ahead of myself. I'll give you your 3 points. I promise. I'm not going to be that pastor, okay? Some of you just sweating bullets over there like, he's only got to point one. Where's the other two? We're not going to make it. You're looking at your spouse. We're not going to make it. He's not going to do it. We got to find a new church. Got to get them 3 points. I'm going to do my best. I want you to write down what throws us off when we're trying to hear from God a lot of times is unmet expectations. Unmet expectations throw us off when we're trying to hear from God many times. When Moses comes closer to look at the bush, he simply says, here I am. Here I am. He didn't come to the bush with, God, this is what you need to say. God, this is what you need to do. This is how you need to speak to me. He just said, here I am. Here I am. It was an expectation that God will do something. But maybe sometimes we come with an expectation of, God, you need the pastor to do something. You need the worship team to do something. And I can tell you our hearts, we want to. We want to receive what God gives and pour it out to you. We don't want to keep it for ourselves. But did you know that, remember in verse 1, it says Moses' father-in-law was a priest, right? What if Moses just kept expecting, well, Jethro's going to tell me what I need to do. He's the priest. He'll tell me what I need to do. Jethro is the one who's going to get the word for me, but you know what happens is the Lord shows up in a burning bush out in the middle of nowhere, and he speaks to Moses. Sometimes our expectation of how God needs to speak to us and what he needs to say and what he needs to do comes from somebody else. I can tell you, God's real good at bypassing people and speaking right into our life. Now, I come to you, and I believe the Lord's given me something that I'm going to give 100%. But I can promise you, I can go through all these verses, and I hear from people. People tell me point blank, Pastor, I know you spoke, but I didn't hear anything you said because Holy Spirit was speaking to me. And I'm like, praise God. Praise God. If Holy Spirit spoke to you and you didn't hear from me, it's the best thing you could have heard. You don't need to remember the 3 points. I know some of y'all still panicking. Was that point two? I don't know if that was point two. Should I write that down? Write it down if you want it to be point two. Praise God. That can be point two. But I don't know, do any of you guys ever feel this pressure? Feel this pressure when you're trying to follow God. You want to follow the will of God. Have any of you felt this pressure of, what if I mess it up? What if I mess up the will of God? Some of you walked in, what is there even a will of God left for me? I've made so many mistakes. Is there still a will of God available for me? Some of you maybe have walked in feeling that way. Is there still a will of God for me? I've messed up too much. Or maybe there's a choice in front of me. God, I don't want to do the wrong thing. I don't want to mess up. I've got more good news. Thank goodness, as long as I teach the Bible, I got lots of good news. The good news is the Bible tells us the Lord is the best shepherd. The Lord's the best shepherd. Psalm 23 says the Lord is our shepherd. He leads us. Can I tell you something? I'm going to reveal something. It's going to set some of y'all free today. Some of you are worried about making the wrong decision. And I'm here to tell you, stop giving yourself so much credit that you can mess up what God wants to do in your life. Because you know who that sounds like? Let's talk about it. Who does that sound like, that you are capable of doing something that can outdo the sovereignty of God? That sounds like the enemy. That sounds like an enemy who thinks he can outdo God, who can break up what God wants to do. If you've been listening to that voice in your head of, oh, you're just one mistake away, you're just going to throw this all off, you're going to mess this all up, you have nothing left for you, you've messed up too much, that's not the voice of God. I tell you, God still fully believes in himself. He fully believes what he's capable of. That's the voice of the enemy trying to tell you, you're going to mess this up. And some of you get up to decisions and you've got so much anxiety, so much pressure, and it comes from a heart of wanting to do what God wants you to do. That's a good place, but then the enemy, he pulls in seeds, and he pulls in weeds, and he starts trying to choke it out. We'll start off as a pure heart to do what God wants you to do. He starts choking it out and telling you, you're just going to mess up. Don't make any decisions. You know what I tell you about a good shepherd? A good shepherd, if you start to go down the wrong path, he's going to tell you. He's going to tell you this is not the right path. This is not the way to go. And some of you, you get up to two paths. And you feel like God doesn't really tell you which one to go down. You've got two paths. Maybe you got three. I don't know. Maybe, praise God, you got seven paths. And that's why anxiety is just setting. You're like, seven paths and I got no peace. Praise God. Can I tell you about the character of the best shepherd? The character of the best shepherd is sometimes he'll look at seven different options. And he says, I'm the best shepherd ever. And you could pick any one of these paths and I'll get you to where I want you to go. He's the best shepherd. And some of you are paralyzed with fear about making the wrong choice. And you need to trust God's sovereignty to lead you where he wants you to go. He is capable of leading if we'll listen. But you go, Philip, I am trying to listen. Pastor Phil, I am trying to hear. I was listening to a podcast this week that I think is going to help us. It was amazing. It's like God's in the details or something. Never heard of this person before, never listened to this podcast. It got sent to me. Please hear my heart. I love you guys. I really do. If you've been here long enough, I love you. If you're new, you don't have to believe me, but I do love you. What I don't need from you is more YouTube videos or podcasts, okay? You can send them, and I'll send them right to our HR department. But I will say, this person sent me a podcast, and I just felt like the Lord was in it. So I stopped, and I listened to it, and it was this guy named Jamie Winship. And Jamie Winship was a CIA agent. He was a CIA agent, but he wasn't always a CIA agent. And Jamie used to be a police officer, and that's what he felt like God called him to do. He called me to be a police officer, Jamie would tell you. And while he was doing a police officer, he was solving crimes, solving cases, just awesome works. And he's like, God's blessing me. I'm doing what I'm supposed to do. I'm a police officer. I'm doing what God's called me to do. Your job title is not your calling. It's just where you accomplish your purpose. That's not a point. Some of you are like, was that point three? No, we're getting there. But one night after being a police officer for a while, Jamie gets called into a meeting at like 11 o'clock at night, and he sits down, and it's a CIA recruiter. The CIA recruiter sits him down, and he says, Jamie, how are you solving these cases? I've looked into your files, I've looked into these cases, and the methods you're using are not taught in the academy. You're doing stuff we don't teach, and it's getting amazing results. I want to talk to you about your process. I want to talk to you about the process of how you're solving these cases. And Jamie looks at him and says, you're not going to like my process. You're not going to like my process. And the recruiter says, I don't really have to like your process because I know the results. I know the results. See, if we're doing what God's calling us to, like we talked about last week, if we're producing good fruit, sometimes people just want to know our fruit first before they know our process. Sometimes people just want to know our fruit first before they know our process. And so the recruiter finally asked, Jamie, what is it you're doing to solve these cases? Jamie goes, okay, when I get a case, I simply ask, God, what do you want me to know? And God, what do you want me to do? God, what do you want me to know? And God, what do you want me to do? And the CIA recruiter says, you're right, I hate that process. And so the CIA recruiter says, okay, well, I'm going to throw out this case to you. It's an overseas mission we're working on, and nothing has worked so far. Nothing's worked so far. So what would you do if you were in this scenario? Jamie says, I already told you. So Jamie prays, God, what do you want me to know? What do you want me to do? And the Lord told him the way the CIA was working was completely wrong. They had false pretenses, false ideas, and everything they were doing was wrong. And typically in a job interview, you don't tell your future employer everything you're doing is wrong. It's not a great strategy, typically. But he tells him, because that's what he asked God, what do you want me to know? The paradigm's wrong. He tells him, your whole paradigm wrong. The whole thing of way you're approaching this is wrong. So they talk, and then finally, CIA recruiter writes a number on a piece of paper and slides it across the table and says, "Is this enough to get you to join the team?" That opportunity came about because Jamie was willing to ask two questions. God, what do you want me to know, and what do you want me to do? But see, I think in light of Exodus, what we just read in Exodus 3, Jamie, with all due respect, if you ever somehow find a small church in North Georgia that streams out, I think we should add one more thing to that. If you want the 3 points to this message, it's really these 3 points. God, what do you want me to see? God, what do you want me to know? And God, what do you want me to do? God, what do you want me to see? And maybe sometimes it's an event. It's a burning bush. It's God trying to get our attention as a good shepherd that I'm about to speak to you. I'm about to do something. And I'm trying to get your attention. God, help me to see what you want me to see. And then once God gets our attention and we're ready to receive, we've got to be willing to ask, God, what do you want me to know? Because we'll ask sometimes. We'll ask questions of God. God, why did this happen? Why did it go this way? Why are you doing what you're doing? But that's not the question that Jamie would tell us to ask. He would say, God, what do you want me to know? God, what do you want me to know? And sometimes that answer is not going to be everything we want to know. It's not going to be all the details we want. Sometimes it requires faith to keep moving. And some of you are paralyzed right now because you're thinking, what can I really do to move forward? God says, I'll give you what you need to know to move forward. And then sometimes we've got to be willing to ask God, what do you want me to do? And I don't know about you, sometimes I'll ask that question, God, what do you want me to do? And then all of a sudden he speaks real clearly. And I'm like, that's not the answer I want. Some of us want to play like spiritual roulette. Like, I'm about to reveal. I don't know, what's the game when you pull the lever at the slots? We want spiritual slot machines. We pray, God tells us what to do, and we're like, I didn't like that. Boom, new slot, new prayer. Okay, here we go. Same thing comes up, and we're like, all right, one more time. Hit the lot, spin the wheel, okay? And it comes at God saying, this is what I want you to do. What is it God's wanting you to do? See, this whole week, the Lord was just telling me, Philip, I'm going to speak to people today. I'm going to speak to people today. And some of them, they've been running. They've been running from what I've been asking them to do. They've been running from the things that I'm calling them to do. Some of them have been paralyzed from stepping into the things that I want them to do because they're so scared they're going to mess it up. God's not looking for us to know everything. God's looking for, are we willing to ask God, will you just tell me what I need to know? God, will you just tell me what you want me to do? And God, will you help me to see what you want me to see? The worship team wants to come back up. I want to close out with a story. And I'm going to share a word I feel like the Lord's given to us. There was a time when I was not a pastor. Some of you are like, you should go back to that. We'll see. I'll follow the Lord. I was working from home. Like I said, I was talking to the squirrels and the birds out there and all my friends. Had a neighborhood cat that even came by from time to time. Praise God. I was out there talking to my friends and my wife. She worked from home or worked in an office at that time. Worked in an office. And I'm just going to go and tell you something. I've out-earned my wife like 3 months of our marriage. I married up. One thing I was not looking for in a wife was a Disney princess. In case you know, I was looking for like a strong, independent woman who don't need no man. You know what I'm saying? And I found that. Love you, babes. And strong, independent, working in the office, out-earning me. That's okay. Me and my youth ministry degree, bebopping along in business. They didn't prepare me for a lot of this. And she gets called into a meeting. And I remember the Lord just spoke to me. That day he said, it's over. She's done there. And I was like, what? What do you mean she's done? I was like trying to show the Lord, like, do you not see the number she makes plus the number I make, that's the total number. We like this number. I'm like, God, if you subtract her number and it just leaves my number, we don't like this number. This bottom number, this is not what we're looking for, God. And so I started praying, God, I don't know why you've told me that this is over for her there, but I need you to not have that happen. And I start praying, God, let the firm stay together. Let the company stay together. Let her keep her job. And I would keep praying, and I'm praying, and I'm pacing. I'm like wearing the carpet out in the living room, just praying and praying. And God says no. And I'm like, okay, well, we're just going to keep praying. We're going to keep praying. We're going to keep interceding. We're going to get a different answer. Keep pulling the slot machine. Keep pulling the slot machine. And God's just like, no. And while I am young, there comes points in life where I finally realize, well, I mean, if God's just going to do it, you just accept it. You just don't keep fighting it. And so I don't. I plop down after like an hour or two of prayer with a big bowl of cereal. I'm not talking like the serving size they tell you on the box. I'm talking about like a real Southern serving size of cereal. And I plop down on the couch and I say, God, I don't know how this is going to work out, but I need you to just work this out. See, I thought I was praying a good prayer. But my wife comes back and she tells me, you know, like the firm's closing down. Closing down. And God had put in her heart to start a business. And she had kind of started it, but she hadn't gone full into it because she had a great job, great paying job. It's hard to jump away from that. I can tell you my wife is most definitely out earning me yet again. But see, in that moment, I was praying against what God wanted to do in her life. I was praying against the blessing and anointing that God had put on her life because I didn't see it. I didn't see it. I didn't see all the gifts and talents and skills that God had given her and how he was going to bless her and bless our family. I was praying to try to just keep it comfortable. And I can tell you, Jesus Christ didn't die on the cross to save us from our sins for us to be comfortable. He's got a plan for your life. He's got a plan for your life, and sometimes there's a cost to it. And sometimes there's a sacrifice to it, but it's what he's going to bless. It's what he's going to anoint. The word the Lord gave me was, he said, Philip, there's going to be people who come in and they're going to hear this message. They're going to hear the 3 points. They're going to hear, God, what do you want me to see? God, what do you want me to know? And then what do you want me to do? And they're going to write down their 3 points, Philip. But I'm going to speak into their heart and I'm going to stir their heart. And so I don't know if you're online. I don't know if you're in Hiawassee. I don't know if you're here in the building. God didn't tell me that. But he said, I'm going to speak into their heart. And I'm going to stir their heart. And I'm going to beckon them. I'm going to put into them that their life is bigger than just themselves. He said, Phil, the temptation that people are going to have with this message that you have just given, what I've given you, the temptation they're going to have is to turn this into more of Christianity self-help. Take the 3 points and I'm going to apply it to my life and I'm going to get this prayer life and I'm going to get what God wants for me and my life's going to be better. And God says, you could do that, but you will miss out on what this truly is. And what the Lord says, this truly is me beckoning and calling people to the God-given plans and purposes in their life. And it's bigger than your life. We look around at this world and we say, darkness is closing in. Sin's abounding, sin is rampant, and God, we think he's like up on the throne waving some kind of white flag ready to surrender to the darkness in this world. Where do you see that in Scripture? What I read in the Word is that God is able, that when light moves forth, darkness flees. I don't look at a nation and say, oh, darkness has just got us. It's over. Abandon the next generations to their sins. What I look is through the lens of the Word of God. It says there is light that can go forth and there's freedom that can be found. And the Lord is beckoning people today. He's calling people's hearts. He says, my light is still able. My love is still able, but who can I send? And he's beckoning your heart. And you don't know all the answers. You don't know what it's going to look like. You don't know what exactly I'm supposed to step out and do. It says, God says, that's why I gave you the 3 points. You don't need to know everything. You don't need to know everything, but are you willing? Are you able? There comes a point. Are we just going to abandon the next generations to darkness and sin? in your own life, do you think that's the best God has for you? The sin and brokenness you've walked in here with, and I'm here to tell you it's not. That's not God's best for you. God's best for you is a loving relationship that changes your heart and your mind. He's got a God-given plan and purpose for your life that's bigger than you. It's to go make an impact in this world. Your life's not average. The cross didn't buy average. The blood of Jesus didn't buy average. An empty tomb didn't buy average. And he's speaking into somebody's heart today. He's beckoning somebody's heart. He's saying, I'm calling you. I'm calling you to go forth. Are you willing? Are you willing? And I look around, and I know we're a small church in North Georgia. That's not what God sees. That's not what God sees. There's a verse in the Old Testament that says, the Lord searches the whole earth, for hearts that are fully committed to him. He searches the earth for hearts that are fully committed to him. And when he looks across this world, does he see hearts that have grown cold because of comfort? Does he see hearts that have grown cold because we chase morality rather than the Spirit of God? Jesus tells us in John 16, he says in verse 13, when the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all truth. He will not speak on his own, but will tell you what he's heard. He will tell you about the future. He will bring me glory by telling you whatever he receives from me. All that belongs to the Father is mine. This is why I said the Spirit will tell you whatever he receives from me. Some of y'all want a burning bush moment in your life, and I'm here to tell you, Jesus says the burning bush was put inside of you. The Spirit of the living God has been put inside of you. He's not going to tell us anything that he's not received from Jesus. And some of us, we throw up walls against Holy Spirit, and he's been leading us. He's been beckoning us. Let me in and let me lead. I'm here to tell you what Jesus has for you. I can guide you into the future if you're willing to ask, God, what do you want me to know? What do you want me to do? Man, we all have excuses. God, I'm too old. God says, I know your age. I created you. Some of us say, God, I'm too young. I'm only in middle school. I'm only in high school. And God says, I know. I created you. Some of us say, oh, God, I'm a woman. He says, I know. I created you. We have all these excuses of why I can't go, why I can't be sent. And God says, I've sent Holy Spirit to live inside of you. If you've repented of your sins, turned from your ways and given your life to the Lord. Holy Spirit lives inside of you and will guide you. The question is, will you respond? Or have our hearts grown cold? They've grown cold. Do we love comfort? Do we shy away from sacrifice? Do we shy away from the cost? Or is there something that's stirring in our heart that says, God, I won't abandon this world to the darkness it lives in? Is there something that stirs in our heart and says, God, send me? And the enemy tries to tell you about your past, and God says, I'm here to tell you about your future. I'm here to tell you that I can work in and through you to bring light to darkness, freedom to those who are enslaved. And he's stirring your heart. And he's saying, who can I send? Jesus told us in his word 2,000 years ago. He said, the harvest, it's ripe. The harvest, it's ready. But the workers are few. Is that what will define our generations? That the workers were few, or will something be birthed in our heart? Will something be birthed in our soul? Will something be birthed where we say, here I am, God, send me? Is there anybody left who can stand at their feet who say, I don't know what it's going to look like, but God, here I am, send me?
Is there anybody left who can hit their knees and say, God, I don't know what it's going to look like, but here I am. Send me. Because I'm here to tell you the light of God does not shrink back to darkness. If it's just three people, we won't shrink back. We won't abandon the next generations to darkness, to an identity given from Satan. We'll speak life. We'll speak love. And we will see a move of God. So the question is, who will go? Who will go? Don't tell me about your past. I'm here to tell you about a God who can forgive. I'm here to tell you about a God who can set you free. But he didn't set you free for comfort. He set you free for a God-given calling and identity to speak into the nations, to speak into your families and your communities. So who will we be? Who will we be? When God beckons, when God calls, is it cold-hearted? Our love of comfort? Or is there someone left who can say, God, I'll hit my knees. I don't know what it's going to look like. But here I am, send me. Jesus taught us to pray. He said, our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. He said, your kingdom come. We don't have to settle for the ways of this world. He said, don't settle for the ways of this world. Don't settle for what the enemy tells you about yourself. He wants to bring your past back into it. Jesus says, no, you pray for the kingdom of heaven to come. You pray for light to come. He said, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. What do you want? What do you want? You know God's stirring in your heart. You know it's uncomfortable. But God's calling you. How will you respond? Because our time is now. Our time is now. So I ask, if you know God's beckoning in your soul right now, then I ask for you to stand. Lift up your arms and say, God, here I am, send me. I don't know what it's going to look like, but I know you've given me a God-given purpose, and I'm going to step into it. I won't abandon the next generation to darkness. I'll say, God, here I am, send me. God, help me to see what you want me to see. God, help me to do what you want me to do. God, help me to know what you want me to know. I won't settle for average. I won't settle for a cold heart that loves comfort. I won't settle for a cold heart that loves morality. So God, I ask your kingdom come. Your will be done. We ask for light to go forth. If you've got something that's been hidden in your life, if you've got something hidden in your life, I ask, say, God, bring your light, reveal it. Bring healing to the corners of my life that I've hidden for you. Bring revival first in my life. Say, God, I want freedom from the sins in my life. I won't obey anger. I won't obey pornography. I won't obey alcohol. Ask God, let your kingdom come in my life. God, I ask that your will be done in my life. Here I am, send me.